microphone on. Mark chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 40 and go to the end of the chapter. Give your attention now to God's holy and infallible word. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. This ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May he bless it to our hearing this day. Well, we come to the end of Mark chapter 1, 10 sermons later. There's a lot here. There's 45 verses. And just to kind of refresh your memory where we've been and where we're going today. In chapter 1, verse 3, Mark cites the Old Testament prophets in their declaration, "Prepare the way of the Lord." In other words, God is coming. God is coming. And he's saying that he has come in the person of Jesus Christ. In verse 9 through 11, we see that Jesus is actually ordained into the office of Messiah. That is, the one who would come and save sinners from their sins, who would restore all that we have ruined, who would come really to give his life for his people. In verse 14, we see that he is preaching then this good news of God's reign in the earth. In other words, God has come, and he is reigning, and his reign and his kingdom is discernible. You can actually experience the coming of God. And then Mark lays out for us at least five distinct ways in which Jesus exercises his authority. He demonstrates his power as this messianic savior. In verse 16, he gathers followers unto himself, those willing to actually lay aside their occupation in order to come and follow Jesus. In verse 21, he's kicking out demons from church services. In verse 29, he's healing sick and diseased, the sick and diseased of the whole city. In verse 35, he acknowledges that his purpose for coming is to declare God's reign, and therefore he must move on and go into all of Galilee. And now in verse 40, he's cleansing a leper. Friends, there's little need for illustrations in the sermon today because we have an illustration right before us. It is Jesus Christ cleansing a leper. And so we're going to open up this passage. We're going to look at these different parts. I have four main headings, four main points. I'm going to tell you them all at once, and then I'll give them to you again as we move through it, okay? The king is approached by a begging leper. The king commands uncleanness. The king commands a clean man. And the king is banished like a leper. So let's jump right in to verse 40. The king is approached by a begging leper. It says in verse 40, a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you're willing, You can make me clean. Well, before we look at his actual prayer, the leper's prayer to Jesus, let's look at some background. What is leprosy? What is a leper? Leprosy in this day is not limited to the contemporary disease that we're familiar with, or maybe not familiar with, but that we would diagnose as leprosy, or the other name for it is Hansen's disease. That's a very particular kind of skin disease. But in the New Testament times, actually in the Old Testament times as well, leprosy just meant scales disease, the disease of scales. And the idea is that it was any kind of infection of the skin. It also could be, quote-unquote, infections that were on walls inside of houses, you know, like mold. Or it could be infections that were upon clothing. Leviticus 13 and 14 are two very long chapters that deal with what is leprosy, how to diagnose it, and what is to be done if one is cleansed from it. But not only do we have Leviticus 13 and 14 and other portions of Scripture, there are many instructions from the Jewish commentaries and books just about leprosy. The scribes identify 72 different kinds of afflictions that are classified under the diagnosis leprosy. 72 different diseases or afflictions. In essence, though, this is the idea that a leper was one who was declared unclean because he had some kind of skin infection that was not healing, and he was banished from the camp to go live out in desolate places. In these Jewish commentaries, they have whole chapters about different things. One chapter in one of the commentaries is called The Plague. And it's all about leprosy. It's got 14 chapters inside of it, The Plague. And what you need to appreciate is this. Unlike the way we think about maybe leprosy today, the concern was not so much about spreading a physical disease. Yeah, that could happen. It was possible. And certainly some lepers did have Hansen's disease. But the concern, why it was called the plague, is because if you were to come in contact with a leper, you would be ritually or ceremonially unclean. Think of a dead person, a corpse. The scriptures have a bunch of rules that if you actually touch a dead body, you're unclean for a number of days and you have to go through this whole big ritual purification. Well, here were corpses that were able to stand up and walk around. You see how scary that is? In fact, sometimes they were actually referred to as the living dead or a walking corpse. What immediately comes to your mind? Zombies. But you know what? It's worse than being a zombie. Because a leper, first of all, is real. But secondly, a leper is living and conscious of their alienation from society. They're aware of the fact that they are the walking dead. Are you beginning to feel what it is to be a leper? Well, let me help you further. Consider their interaction then with society. You see, the leper was isolated. The leper experienced great loss in their life. They lost their health. They experienced the loss of a reputation, the loss of occupation, the loss of family, the loss of community. They were alienated. I want you to think for a minute. If you were a leper in this community, or maybe a spouse of yours is a leper in this community, banished. Leviticus 13, verse 45 and 46 says this, "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, the hair of his head shall be uncovered. He shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. That's God. Those are God's instructions. Now think about all of the laws that the rabbis put on top of that. The rabbis would say this: a leper may not stand any closer than 50 paces or steps from others without leprosy. Lepers were able to contaminate people, but they were also able to contaminate houses, so they couldn't enter anyone's house. They were also actually able to contaminate nature. There's this whole law about if a leper passes under a tree, now it's contaminated, and no person without leprosy can pass under the tree, or else they would become leprous or unclean. There were laws about contamination with clothing. And if they violated these laws, or if they contaminated another with uncleanness, they could, according to the law, receive up to 40 lashes. And realistically, though it was not in the law, society would have no problem if you were to stone the leper. Lepers were stoned. I mean, imagine, here comes the walking dead toward you. You're going to start throwing rocks at it. Get away from me. You can make me unclean. Why have so many laws about lepers? Why emphasize this ritual or spiritual uncleanness if most forms were not really contagious? Well, because God wanted to make it abundantly clear that there is a greater spiritual problem with everybody. Man is unclean. Man is not holy. Man is perverse in his nature. Think about all the way back in the garden, Adam and Eve. Their skin was exposed. They were naked and not ashamed. And as soon as they rebelled against God, what did they try and do? Hide themselves. Hide their nakedness. Hide their skin, as it were. Isn't that interesting? There's this outward and natural concern for an inward spiritual defilement. And that is the way it is with the leper as well. All of humanity is born with spiritual leprosy, filthy, corrupt, defiled, polluted, decaying, cancerous. That is the nature of humanity. Well, interestingly, God did provide only one way for the leper to be restored back into society. Leviticus 14 tells us that the priests were gatekeepers of Israel's holiness, and the priest were to declare the leper clean. In chapter 13, it's like 60 chapters long, and the whole thing is, look for this kind of skin infection, and look for this kind of skin infection, and look for this kind of skin infection, and this is what it looks like if it heals, and if it's not like that, then it's leprosy, and there's all these laws. You want to have a fun time this afternoon? Go home and read Leviticus 13 and 14. What you find, though, is that the priests were able to declare a leper not only unclean, but also clean. And the acknowledgement was that the healing was in God's hand alone. The priest could only declare or justify that a leper was clean. They diagnosed leprosy, but they could not heal leprosy. There was no cure for leprosy. In fact, the cleansing of a leper is compared to resurrection. The rabbis explicitly say that. It's like someone coming back from the dead. Here's a dead corpse walking, and all of a sudden, now you're no longer a corpse. This is a miracle from God alone. And he would then have these ritual and ceremonial cleansings that were associated with the gospel. But we'll come to that when we get to verse 44. Let's go to our actual story. Let's come to the narrative. What we see here is that this leper comes looking for Jesus. Leprosy was probably actually one of the few diseases that Jesus did not heal at Peter's house back in verse 34. Now think about it. All these crowds are coming together. How does a leper come into the midst of that crowd? Leprosy is probably one of the few things Jesus didn't heal earlier in our text. But Mark wants to bring out this account of healing the leper very intentionally. This is not, in other words, story. This is not Jesus healing someone from a disease. This is not Jesus casting out a demon. This is a cleansing story. A unique word of cleansing a sinner. The leper didn't simply need healed, did they? They needed to be declared clean. In fact, if you look at our passage, four times the word clean is used, and zero times the word healed is used. That's the emphasis. Well, this leper does not keep distant from Jesus. In fact, he risks much to be in the presence of Jesus. He risks even offending Jesus by coming into his presence. What does he have to lose? Does this leper have shame to lose? Is he fearful that they might kill him, put him out of his misery? He's only desperate. And look at his words, how they actually reveal his faith. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He believes that Jesus has the power to make him clean, that he's able to make him clean. What he questions is, what he's unsure about, is if Jesus is willing to do it. This leper is desperate. How many times had this leper gone to the priest? We don't know. Maybe never, but imagine if he did, only to have the law declare over his head, unclean, unclean, unclean still. But he comes to Jesus in a desperate way. He's not looking for a priest. He's looking for one to clean him. It says that he came to him. Literally, he was face to face with him. And so we see this leper coming to him urgently. The text here says that he was beseeching him. Literally, he was begging him. We see the leper coming humbly. It says that he kneeled down before him in this inferior posture. He was treating Jesus like a king. So we see him coming in a reverent way. We see him coming, approaching. If you are willing, you can make him clean. Know that you are in need of this cleansing from Jesus. You know, you've come today, you've come to approach this Jesus. Why have you come? Have you come here because, well, I've committed to doing this, I'm a member of the church, this is what I have to do? Have you come here today because you're fulfilling some kind of requirement that's been put on you? Children, have you come today just because your parents have brought you here? Why have you approached this Jesus? Are you just coming because you're checking out churches? Or have you come today approaching this Jesus because you are desperate, like this leper? You know your defilement. You experience contamination and uncleanness within you. And if you don't feel that way, you don't know the filth of your sin yet. Our first parents sinned, And you've been trying to cover up ever since. You see, the messy and the polluted, let me encourage you, you've come to the right place today. You've come to the right place because this Jesus is the only one who's able to cleanse you. He's able to purge you. He's able to purify you. We see his cleansing power then in verse 41 and 42. 41 and 42. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. This brings us to our second point. The king commands uncleanness. He actually gives a command to uncleanness, to impurity. You notice that Jesus is not offended by this approach of faith. Jesus isn't scared that the leper has come and kneeled before him. He's not angry. He's not indifferent. No, this leper is not met with contempt. He's met with compassion. It's interesting. This is kind of a footnote or side note, but some manuscripts actually say that he was moved with anger. Either work, really, whether Jesus is moved with anger or moved with compassion. But you can almost understand, if Mark did use the word anger, that he was using it to bring his hearers in. Imagine this. This leper approaches Jesus, and he's moved with anger. And you go, yeah, he's moved with anger. Why is that leper coming to him? And then he heals him. Wait, what? He's moved with anger to cleanse him. This is Jesus. If it is anger, angry against the misery and the curse over this leper. We read this in our study on Judges just last week, that when Israel put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord, that his soul was grieved over the misery of Israel. It's very interesting. Again, Jewish tradition. They expected in the age of the Messiah's reign, that is when the Messiah would come, that lepers would actually still be around and they would be banished from the Messiah's great feast and they would be kicked out of and not allowed to come into the new temple that the Messiah would have. Now, I want you to think about this. That's contemporary belief with this very account. And Jesus is then challenging that view by his very compassion of this leper. Now, there will be no lepers in the kingdom of God in the messianic age. Well, notice what he does. First of all, he touches the untouchable. To touch a leper means you become ceremonially unclean. What are you doing, Jesus? When do you think the last time that this leper was touched or experienced human intimacy? And here's Jesus. He was not able to be made unclean, but he could make others clean. He was not infected by the unholiness of this leper, but he could turn dirt into holy ground with his very feet, with his very presence. He is the Holy One of God. And his willingness to cleanse is actually first displayed not with words, but with intimate contact. He could just speak the words of cleansing. But no, he wants to intentionally communicate something. You are clean. I embrace you. He's also identifying with the leper's uncleanness at the very same time as he touches him. One commentator says it this way. It's as if Jesus is saying with this very touch, I am prepared to become by choice what you are by nature, a man under the judgment of the law, in order that I may share with you what I have, freedom and life. What an amazing transfer that's being communicated just in this touch of Jesus. But he goes further, doesn't he? He speaks to the one who is friendless, to the one who is quarantined. He says to him, first to the man, I am willing. He says to him, let me assure your faith. Let me remove all doubt from you, Mr. Leper. I am willing. I voluntarily, I desire, I'm determined. This is what I came for, is to clean you. Jesus gives you, you spiritual lepers, he speaks to you as well. He gives you his whole word to accomplish many things in order to build up and establish your faith, doesn't he? He gives you his word in order to explain things to you, in order to confront you, in order to correct you, to comfort you, to train you and instruct you, to equip you, to prepare you, to demonstrate his love and mercy. Jesus speaks to you in his Bible. And he says to you, I'm willing. I'm determined to clean you, to make you whole. But then he also says, be clean. And he's not saying it like, I want you to be clean, or you are now clean. He's actually commanding here. He's saying, be clean. It's interesting when we look at the Old Testament examples of leprosy. There's some actual narratives, some stories in which people contract leprosy, and God uses miracles in order to remove or cleanse the leprosy. When Moses' sister receives leprosy for her challenge to God's plan, Moses cries out to the Lord, please cleanse her. And God says, I will in 1 week. When the Gentile captain, Naaman, who's actually a captain for the enemy of Israel, comes to the prophet Elisha and says to him, please heal me of this leprosy, Elijah keeps his distance and says, go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. When priests are visited by lepers who are actually cleansed or healed, they only declare the cleansing. They cannot cure the cleansing. Well, why do I go through all of that? Because here is one who does not simply cry out to the Lord. Here is one who does not keep his distance. Here is one who does not simply declare you are clean. He commands the leper to be clean. He transcends Moses. He transcends Elisha. He transcends the priesthood. He is none other than God, who's able to tell leprosy to leave. Mark said in verse 3, God's coming. And Jesus demonstrates time and again, yes, and here I am. And notice, leprosy departs. It leaves. It goes away. That's the language of the text. Immediately, he is healed. We have a lot of people work in the medical community. I want you to think about how we treat skin diseases today. Maybe you go through a round of medicine, lotions and creams and oils and powders and baths and pills and maybe even IV medication. Lots of times you have to actually put multiple dressings on and change these dressings in order to have the skin heal over time. There's wet dressings and dry dressings and occlusive and non-occlusive dressings. Maybe you have to have surgery. So you have to prep for the surgery, and then you have to go in for the day of surgery. And even though you get to go home, it takes up your whole day. Maybe you have to deal with the harvesting and grafting of skin transplants. But I don't know of any treatment today in our advanced technology medicine where you will see instant and immediate healing. If this man had Hansen's disease, where his flesh was literally rotting off of him, how much more significant and immediately He had new skin. And he was healed. This is the power of our God. And understand that this was a demonstration of not only Jesus' power, but his willingness to cleanse this sinner. This leper, he wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to be restored and to be made whole. But really, what could he do about it? We could say it like this. He wished he was clean. But Jesus not only had the power to clean him, he wanted to clean him. More than even the leper wanted to be cleansed. This is our God. Jesus is not seeking to be radical or contrary to the Word of God, to the law of Moses. No, he's actually seeking in this event to call this man to greater faith in him. Look at what he commands next in verses 43 and 44. He sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Jesus commands this clean man to do two things. First, don't tell anyone what happened here. You keep your mouth shut. It's got to be hard. It's got to be so hard. You're just healed. You're just cleansed. Why would you not want to tell everybody? Oh, I got some news. You would not believe what happened to me. I went to this guy today. I think I met the Messiah. Don't say anything. This secrecy motif, this pattern we see often actually in the Gospel of Mark more than the other Gospels. Three times Jesus is silencing demons. Four times after miracles he's telling the people to be quiet. Twice with his disciples he's telling them don't say anything. And those are all explicit commands. There are other places as well where he's telling parables in order to cloak the mysteries of the kingdom. The secrecy motif. I won't get into some of the wrong conclusions. We don't need to talk about the wrong stuff. Let's talk about the right stuff. Why would Jesus say to this leper, don't say anything? Because Jesus wants to guard his messianic identity. He wants to make sure that people don't have a premature understanding of who he is and what he came to do, or a false understanding of who he is and what he came to do. He wants to be the one to be able to slowly and carefully open up and reveal who he is and what he came to do. We see what happens when the clean man thinks that he knows better how to advance the kingdom of God than Jesus does. So he commands him, don't tell anyone what happened here. Secondly, he also tells the man to go to the priest for justification, or the declared cleanness, and offering. Isn't it interesting? As quickly as Jesus heals him, he quickly sends him to secure a priestly witness. He tells him, observe the law of Moses, not in order to become clean, but in order to be declared clean. Let me read for you what the first aspect of the offering is. I'm not going to read to you the whole thing. Just Leviticus 14, verse 2 and following. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. The priest has to go outside. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take two live clean birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the live bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and scarlet string and hyssop and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that is slain. times the one who is to be cleansed from leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. Later, he's supposed to shave and wash his clothes and stay outside of his tent and for a week and bring three kinds of offering. Why all of this? What could all of this possibly mean? Appreciate that God has designed ritual signs, ceremonial signs associated with this cleansing of the leper to preach the gospel through pictures. Just think about the two birds. Two birds. One, they're both clean, but one is being cleansed by water while he's slain, killed. And the other bird is dipped in that blood, and then he's allowed to go free. You see that? Here is the bird that is killed and slain. He is a clean bird. He is one who is washed in water. This is Jesus. He is the atonement. He is the sacrifice. And here is the other bird who gets the blood put on this bird, gets the blood put on him, the atonement. And he is able to go free again, to be restored, to be made whole. He is the leper. And that's what Jesus is saying, is that by a sacrifice, leper, you have been cleansed. The sacrifice serves as a testimony of God's cleansing work for the leper. And that is something that we all need. But something else to note in this command for the clean man to go to the priest. The followers of Jesus don't overthrow the law. No, you keep the law by faith. What was the next thing he was supposed to do? What should he have done? Go and sin no more. Go and keep the commandments by faith. These are the commands of the king. And yet the leper, like one who wants to be cleansed by Jesus but does not want to submit his life to Jesus, goes and does what his own plans are. We don't know if the leper goes to the priest. We assume he probably did. But notice that it was not immediately like Jesus commanded. Go straightway. Don't stop anywhere. Go directly to that priest and go and get the declaration of cleanness. And we do know further that he did blab. He did tell the secret. Don't we keep seeing this theme in Mark chapter 1 that people keep coming to Jesus in order to get something else besides Jesus? Jesus is only a means to an end? You know, many people want health insurance so that they don't have to live healthy lives. Many people want holiness insurance so they don't have to live holy lives. Jesus is not holiness insurance. Jesus is the one who makes you holy. And his salvation includes your holiness. Maybe this leper just had an immature faith. We can understand that. Though he meant well, he really hurt the ministry of Jesus. He acted as though he knew better than Jesus on how to advance his kingdom. And what the leper really demonstrates here is why he needed not only an external physical cleansing from Jesus, but an inward spiritual cleansing as well. It is interesting how often we pray for people's physical needs when they're sick, when they're injured. And maybe we should be praying that the Spirit of God would use this very trial, this very sickness or this injury, to bring an awareness of a spiritual sickness and a spiritual injury in this person's life, an uncleanness. And then to grant healing grace through His Word and Spirit, not only for their body, but for their soul. Jesus is willing to make you clean. Well, notice what happened because the leper did not obey the voice of the king. In verse 45, it reads, "He went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas. And they were coming to him from everywhere." Jesus removed the burden of the leper, and the leper placed his burden on Jesus. Jesus was banished out into these unpopulated or desolate places. But again, that's intentional. That's what he came to do. To deny himself. To take up our burdens. Again, Adam and Eve were banished from home due to their uncleanness. And that made us outcast too. Jesus traded places with the outcast so that the outcast might be restored and welcomed back into the camp to have fellowship again. Jesus is alienated from the city, but notice, not from his people, because they come out to him. This is one who's not only able to purify the unclean people in Israel, but to purify Israel herself. Let me give you one word of application then. Last week, we were studying this and we saw the disciples wanted to go back to the popular ministry in Capernaum, you know, where Jesus healed and cast out demons all night, and now people are lined up the next day waiting for more. But Jesus is compelled to go to all of the unreached places to bring the gospel to all. Here, Jesus is doing just that. He's bringing the gospel to all. And the mission of Jesus is challenging not only to his disciples in this passage, but to us as well. We don't want to go to the unreached places to bring the gospel. We want to stay in our clusters where it's comfortable, where we don't have to start new relationships from scratch. Where we don't have to start new ministries from scratch. See, there are unknown circumstances. You can't just rely on or gifts or abilities that we have. And so the unreached places, the new places, that's challenging. And if you think about it, these disciples are probably more tempted than you and I are. Because whereas we might not see much fruit from the ministries that we've been involved in, we've dedicated much time and energy and prayer to, the disciples have seen much fruit in only 24 hours. It seems like their work was hardly begun. And there must be many more people in need of Jesus' ministry. But we cannot rely on plans and programs. We must instead consider the unreached areas that the Lord leads us to, or that the Lord brings to us. And this is discerned by the Scriptures, by prayer, by God's providence. The Holy Spirit uses all of these things to enable us so that we might serve God and serve those who he calls us to. But we need to make no mistake about this. As Christ's body, we are called to service. And we also need to make no mistake that Jesus cleanses and purifies each of us for his service. That we might walk in his commandments even into the desolate places of social outcasts and lepers. Let me summarize then what I've been saying, and this is our concluding point. We're all spiritual lepers. We all have an internal corruption. We sense our need for cleansing, and we're often pursuing things that we think will cleanse us, and they defile us even more. Jesus alone is able to cleanse us from our offensiveness. He was pleasing to the Father in every way. He became an offense to God for the offensive. And he is determined to trade places with spiritual lepers like you. Come to Jesus like this desperate, humble, reverent leper. Come to this Jesus and confess, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I am willing. Be clean. Amen.